Joining me in the line is Mr. Pat Lynch. Pat is a Cork-based entrepreneur, business owner, angel investor and author. He founded his first company, the award-winning Microtech Clean Room Services in 1998, where he was the sole salesperson for the company, securing an impressive 40 US multinationals as clients, one per month within a three-year period. He sold the business to National Linen in 2001 after it was named SME Cork Company of the Year. At present, he is Director of Compliance and Risk and CEO of award-winning Evyview and other startup companies. His books include Self-Make, which he published in 2015, a self-help book containing 50 invaluable tips for a well-lived life. And the following year, he published his first business book, Sales Make, sharing 50 easy-to-action illustrated tips to help increase business sales. He has several other books in the series yet to come, with Business Make already underway. And I can vouch for having read the book on sales, and it's very practical, very easy to read, and lots of easy to put into practice tips, I suppose, is how you'd describe it. So Pat joins us on the line. You're very welcome, Pat.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. So Pat, you have been in business a long time, since 1998, and you're the author of some fabulous books. So first question, what are the characteristics do you think make a great salesperson?
Yeah, good question, Monica. I think good salespeople probably have an unusual, I suppose, personality, really. A salesperson, really, to me, can't be an aggressive person. I think you kind of have the soft sell, but sales, to me, or to seeing a good salespeople, is someone who builds up a rapport with you over time, you know, someone that you can trust, someone that's willing to go the extra mile for you. And, you know, over time, you build that trust with a salesperson, and, you know, the customer then feels comfortable dealing with them, you know. And I think there's a combination of all that in there, really, you know.
I see. And some of those things you mentioned there, Pat, like trust, and I suppose it's as you were speaking, I was thinking it sounds like a generally helpful person, somebody who's going to go the extra mile and to, you know, to do their best for other people. Do you think those characteristics can be taught to somebody?
Yeah, I personally don't think they can, you know. It's either in you or it's not in you to some degree. There's no course you can go to, you know, where you can come in to a course and come out a salesperson. You know, that course is not there. You can become an accountant, you can become an engineer, you can be, you know, a tradesperson, and you end up with a qualification. But I think, you know, sometimes people get these other qualifications and then they actually end up in sales, because I think sales is something that's either in you that you like, and most people actually hate it. You know, I know lots of people that do anything except sales. And I suppose it's getting, you know, the combination of the stuff I'm talking about there into the person that really wants to do it. And the sales is all about fixing someone's problem. And sometimes the bigger the problem is, the more you can get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And people like fixing people's problems. I mean, that's the bottom line. And it's nice to get paid for it then as well.
I understand. Because you don't see too many sales courses, I suppose, at third level. You know, so if you look up any of the prospectus from the various colleges, and certainly in my experience of working with clients, that's something that they do want in people that they hire, even if they're not necessarily hiring them into a sales role. They may need them to be influential, they need them to be good negotiators, and they do bemoan the fact that it's difficult to get people who have a sales qualification as such. So I suppose that goes to your point where it's not necessarily something that can be taught, it's inherent in somebody it's their personality, I suppose, to a large degree of you know, how helpful and so on that they are.
At the end of the day, people like to buy from people that they like in general. You know, we've all bought a product maybe that we didn't use from somebody that we liked, and even though then the opposite of that, we wanted a product but we didn't like the salesperson, so we wouldn't buy it there, you know.
Yeah, we've all had that experience. And just on that, Pat, Do you think that there's much difference between the sales characteristics required today in 2018 and those that would have been required in 1998 when you started in business?
Yeah, it seems like a lifetime, 20 years exactly, nearly to the day. Back when I started my very first business, that specialised in laundry, I mean, websites were only in their infancy. The internet was in, you know, early stages to some degree. There was no LinkedIn there, you know, you were depending on getting someone's business card, whereas now you can just go into LinkedIn and find all the details and the person, be able to contact them directly. Social media has played a huge part in sales right now, which just wasn't there then, you know. I remember the early days working from just lists, enterprise, IDA lists, Enterprise Ireland lists of clean room companies in the country. You know, that's a flick of a button now. You know, I had to wait to get that list. Mm-hmm. Now it's a flick of the button and it's there in front of you, you know.
Yeah, so there's it's easier, I suppose. Well, it certainly seems easier on the face of it to get those connections, yeah.
Yeah, at the end of the day, though, it's still people out there, you know, knocking at doors, trying to get meetings with customers. If you're, you know, if you're selling to, places where you need to get meetings with. I mean, other people, you know, they could be a plumber, a mechanic, a shop owner. It's as important to them today to have a presence on the net, really, and have a good profile and, you know, that people can find them easily. That's
yes,
what it's all about.
Yeah, that it's all about who knows you as well as who you know, I suppose.
Yeah, you've left a good track record behind you as well, because people trust you for number one, but then you have to perform, and they only come back to you for repeat business if you're performing and you're doing a really good job at what you do. And I think that's the thing that people miss. Like, the repeat business is just fantastic, or recurring income from clients is absolutely fantastic business to be in, you know.
Yes, and I suppose if we have business owner, potential business owners listening, Pat, what would you recommend in terms of how much time people should spend on making sales? So, and this is something I'm conscious of in lots of businesses and in my own included, but our sort of time from October to December would be particularly busy. The work tends to come in. The summer months would be less busy. And I struggle, I suppose, with making sure that there is an even flow of revenue throughout the year. It's easy, in my estimation, to kind of forget about sales between October and December. And then if you're not careful, you're facing into, you know, a kind of a bleak looking spring. So in your experience, do you have any suggestion for how long people should spend, regardless of how busy or not it is, on sales activities? So things like networking, you know, keeping an eye on their pipeline, as opposed to just doing what needs to be done today and forgetting about tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody that's in business, they're working on sales all the time, you know. You know, it's always important, even when you're out and about and you're, like you say, you're busy for these couple of months coming up to Christmas, that you're still distributing your brochure, your business card, you're gathering and listening to customers as well to know, you know, what will they be doing in 6 months' time, and that they're aware that you can help them out then. And each staff that work for you, you know, they're all very busy doing their job. At the end of the day, we're all working for a customer, and this customer at the end of the day pays the bills. So I think myself, like, at least 50% of your time is on sales, no matter how busy you are, you know. And obviously when you're quieter during the summertime, in some cases, and I'd be the very same, and software companies I'm involved with right now, the summer can be a very quiet time. Sometimes that's the time to recharge the batteries and to think about, you know, how are you going to deliver in the months ahead. And I think it's very important for anybody in sales, you know, to be out there planning forward, you know, what is there going to be their sales per month, and figuring out where that sale is going to come from, and then judging what their actuals versus what they forecasted, and trying to figure out, well, why did I do better or worse still? Why did I do worse? And to come up with a corrective action plan then to see.
So about 50%, you say, of their time you think they should be spending on sales activities.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes that might even be more, you know.
I get you. Okay. I have your book here in front of me, Pat, the Sales Make book, and you know, you've got the 50 tips, so it's things like listen to feedback, visit your customer, maybe offer them a free trial, offering cost savings ideas, working out what their pain points are, never knock the competitors, have a sales plan, qualify your clients. And there are some really good suggestions in there. What would you say for maybe a micro or small business in the Yawl area? So I suppose we're kind of a tourist town. What would you say of the 50 would be the most important ones for local businesses in a town like Yawl?
I'd say stay close to your customer, you know your customer needs, you know, take them to coffee and listen to what they're saying, and make sure that they know what you can do for them. I really think we, in business in general, we're inclined to forget about meeting customers and this whole socialising with people and maybe the game of golf or the cup of coffee in the coffee shop down the street. All that's very important to keep that rapport going with the customer all the time, even though they mightn't be doing any business with you today. It might be 6 months' time before you get that deal over the line, you know?
Okay. And I have to ask you about measuring results. So if somebody takes the tips that you have written and puts them into practice, how do they know when to stop doing something in sales, or how do they measure the results?
Right. So measuring results, I suppose, KPIs are key thing too, is just, you know, knowing how many customers you have, how many customers you have in your pipeline, you know, when you expect them to come on. So if anything deviates, you need to measure that and to figure out what has gone wrong. So measuring is important, because if you don't measure, you're then blindly going from month to month, you know, and you really, by measuring, it can help you to forecast for the next 12 months. And it's keeping your eye on the ball all the time and just asking the questions, well, what can I do better? And you can be sure there's lots of things people can do better to improve their results and improve their sales. And, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, this whole measuring business and checking yourself against performance is very important. A lot of people don't do it, but it pays dividends if you do it.
Okay, so it's just about, I suppose, if taking some time out at the end of the week or at the end of the day or the end of the month or whenever, and just looking at the activities and what results you've got from those, so you can be more informed going into the next month or week or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay.
And sitting down with your accountant, maybe you should do that as well, you know?
Yeah. Okay, finally, Pat, networking. So we do try to share a couple of events that are happening in the area for business owners every time we have the show, just to let people know what's going on so that they might be inclined to go along to them. Networking is something that I know you place a lot of emphasis on, and you're passionate about sharing your knowledge and passing on education in this area to lots of other people. So what tips do you have for somebody who's not a seasoned networker, who's not a natural extrovert, who doesn't relish the thought of getting out of bed at half six to be at a networking event in Cork for seven and talking to initially strangers about their business? Do you have any tips for people who don't necessarily network at the moment?
Yeah, well, a lot of people, as you say, just don't like doing it, but I think it's important to do it. I could talk for ages around this point, you know, but I do believe that it's important when you do go to networking events to arrive early and be one of the first to arrive, because that means, you know, you can set the scene there and you'll get the lay of the land. And You know, don't be the first to rush out the door at the end either. Stay on for a while and, you know, this is your chance to give out business cards and collect business cards if people offer them to you or if someone wants to take your business card. And, you know, don't try to sell at these events either. You know, try and build up a rapport with somebody. You know, find something of interest, chat to them. And when you go to an event as well, don't try and get around to everybody in the room, but just talk to one person at a time and show an interest in them as well. And broaden them, asking them to do something for you. See if there's something you can do for them first by maybe giving them a lead. You know, a recommendation on a good plumber, a good accountant, a good solicitor, you know, and that they're saying that they're struggling with at the moment. And now you've done them a turn. And, you know, maybe when you meet them at another networking event in a month's time, they might be able to give you a referral back. So at the end of the day, it's all about referrals and, you know.
I suppose it's about ultimately helping. You know, I think if we reframed the word selling to helping, it would be less frightening for people. But it's ultimately about just seeing what you can do for other people, and then they may remember you for that in the future.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, Pat, thank you so much. Tell me before you go about how we can find out more about your books and your work, and if anyone wants to get one of your books or come along to one of your seminars.
Yeah. Well, my books and self-make and sales-make are both on my website. I do self-publication, and the website is lynchpress.com. And you can buy them on the web there. They're a great present for self-making. It's a lovely present for teenagers, young adults, starting out in life, great Christmas present. And the sales book is a lovely present for anybody. As in a great present to give somebody that's in business themselves or somebody who wants to buy for themselves. Lovely little book to have on a coffee table as well in receptions, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love speaking to, you know, the Leos, and I love going to schools as well, talking to transition years up and to colleges like CIT and UCC when they want me to attend there, and just in general talk to students. And, you know, I think it's lovely to be able to give back to, and I call it my game of golf, you know, so I enjoy that sort of work really. You know?
Great stuff. So that's your game of golf, as you say, is going into schools and helping young people learn more about this. Well, that's fantastic, Pat. And Pat has kindly sent us in a copy of his book, Sales Make, which we will be giving away on the show, so do stay tuned for that. And you'll find more about it on Lynch Press.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, Pat, thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to talking to you again soon, please God.